Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Going back to school this year has become a life and death struggle for some hunger strikers in Chicago protesting the closure in June of the Walter H. Dyett High School building. One of 53 schools to shut down since an initiative in 2013 led by Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
It's tough. It's very difficult. But it has to be done so we can achieve the goal that every parent and everybody in the city wants, which is a child to have a high-quality education.
When Dyett was open, it was the last open enrollment high school in Chicago's Bronzeville neighborhood. Responding to neighborhood pressure, though, Chicago school officials have agreed to reopen Dyett, but only as a high school for the arts. The hunger strike goes on. It's the 25th day without food, only liquids. April Stogner is an education activist in the Bronzeville community. She's gone without food for more than 3 weeks. April, how are you feeling?
Hi, John. I'm doing well.
Now, what is your reason for striking at this point, given that the city is going to reopen the school as an arts academy?
Well, John, let me first say that the decision to reopen Dyett as an open enrollment school, we kind of already had that decision last year to reopen it. What we've been fighting for is to have it as the global leadership school. What they're trying to give us is not what the community asked for. They never brought us to the table to make this decision. Many people think that it's a win for us, but we don't see it as that. We don't feel that that's victorious. And for that reason, that's why we're in day 25 of the hunger strike.
What kind of school do you envision Dyett to be if it were to reopen under the conditions that you are setting?
I would envision Dyett being a school that's connected to the other schools in the community, the grammar schools. You're talking about a school that has a beautiful garden, rooftop where you can have a garden. Everything is geared toward green technology, where our kids will be ensured to have a future in green technology and be ensured that they'll have jobs. Yeah, we like arts and all that. That's all fine and dandy. But our kids can do more than dance and sing and jump around.
Isn't the mayor's office line here, though, that this school is inefficient, that it is not green because it's old architecture, it's old, open, poorly insulated, that sort of thing?
That is not true. It's crazy that when I was listening to the statement that you played by the mayor, and they always say that they want to do what's best for other children. This is not what's best for our children. When you talk about community, the community should be involved in these decisions. And we were not involved. We submitted this plan. We've been working on this plan for well over 5 years. So it's funny that he says, you're doing what's best for our community. You don't know what's best for our community. Or we wouldn't have had 49 schools closing at one time. Tell the truth and say what it is. They just want to make money off the backs of our children. And they feel like they can just come in our community and take what they want. But we're not having that anymore.
How far are you prepared to go with this?
I'm willing to take this as far as it needs to go. I've been hungry for 25 days. I'm willing to go 25 more if I need to. We just know that what they're handing us is just crumbs. It's crumbs and they want us to feel like it's cake. And we are not going for that. We know what good schools look like. I wouldn't see the children at Mollison Elementary, where my grandson attends. I would not see children eating their lunch on the floor in the hallway because it's overcrowded, because you decided to close a school and merge these schools together and there wasn't enough room. When you say that, you have the kids' best interest at heart. What kids are you talking about? Because it's not the kids in Bronzeville that you're talking about. It's not the black and brown students that I look at every day.
April, what does your grandson say about what you're doing here?
Well, my grandson, I brought him out yesterday with me for the first time because I felt like he needed to know why, when they're at home eating and grandma is just drinking water, why she isn't eating. I need him to understand that you are important. You do matter. I don't want him to believe that people can just come in his neighborhood and tell him he's not good enough to have a school to go to up the street from him, a good community school, a great community school, a world-class community school. He needs to know whatever you believe in, you stand up and you fight for it by any means necessary.
So many people have asked the question since 2008, during the financial meltdown, et cetera, why doesn't protest work? Why aren't the protests angrier? Why don't they have more of an impact? In your case, I mean, if people start dying over there, you could really change the game as far as protests are concerned in 2015.
I think we have already changed the game. I didn't think that this would go this far. I didn't think that people would watch people starve just for an education for their children. It's amazing to me that we are labeled as people who don't care, parents that don't care. I don't see anybody who doesn't care going without food for 25 days for the education of their children, going to jail for the education of their children. This is bigger than just diet. This is about human and civil rights at this point. This is not just a local issue. This has become a national issue. It's going on everywhere.
The mayor thinks you're bluffing now. I mean, he's going to hold out.
Well, that remains to be seen. The mayor, wow, that's probably one of the biggest gangsters I've seen in a long time.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I would have to say anyone who doesn't value our kids, that already speaks to what kind of person our mayor is. Anyone who closes schools, those are community institutions. Where else would our children have to go?
Although schools do have to be closed sometimes and things have to be changed and, you know, old buildings need to be replaced by new buildings.
What schools need are to be invested in, not disinvested in. It's easy to take away all the resources from these children in these schools and say that they're failing. But what did you do to make sure that they were excelling? You took everything. They don't have libraries, no resources. You take out all of our Black and brown teachers, people who love and care about our kids, who can teach them their history. That's not what you want. But you have money for charters, turnaround schools. I have a problem with that. Everybody should have a problem with that.
April, we want to talk to you later on this month, hopefully, and I hope things turn out well for you. Is there someone in your group of hunger strikers who's particularly fragile at this point?
I think we're all fragile. It's dangerous. And you want to talk to me later this month, I just pray to God that I'm still here and around to talk to you.
Well, we do the same. April Stogner is a hunger striker and education activist in the Bronzeville community of Chicago. She spoke to us from Station WBEZ in Chicago.
Thank you for having me.